This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Hey everybody, welcome to This Week in the NFL here on the Place to Be Nation Sports Network 2.0. Call it This Week in the NFL, but you know, my co-host and I are well aware it's been more than a week, and I apologize. Unfortunately, you know, I do have to maintain a day job. I know that shocks many of you, but kind of took us out of our routine. Been real busy a couple of weeks, but couldn't be happier to be back here. This is, of course, the Cowboy, joined by the esteemed John D'Amato. John, what's going on?
Cowboy, happy Thanksgiving. I'm glad we finally hooked up.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
It was a rough couple of weeks. I can't put it all on you. I know in the chats I put it all on your shoulders, that how hard we're up. But also I had a busy shall we say, entertainment schedule also that took up a lot of the night. So I'll take my share of the blame. But
it's true. John gave me limited options, and I was unable to fulfill any of those options. So just a rough stretch, but we're back, baby.
Because of my pathetic sports teams, I have to look for other entertainment options in music and comedy. But the winter should slow down. I think we should be on it every week. We should be able to hit them up every week from now on in.
Perfect. As we come into the crunch time in the season here, it's been a real interesting few weeks. We're going to get into that.
So I got an update. The Rams just scored again.
I know. We'll talk at length about that game, but I'm interested in your take, because it wasn't like a defensive struggle, but the defense has scored three touchdowns. So I don't know if that fit your criteria of a good game. But we'll talk about that. So we're recording here Wednesday night, 8:15, Wednesday before Thanksgiving, known to the younger folks as a Blackout Wednesday. John, you still 100% with us, or are you three sheets to the wind?
No, I don't really party on days that everybody else does. I like to do that stuff when everybody else is at work and
forge your own path, as they say.
Yeah.
I heard that somewhere. So same here. No Blackout Wednesday. So if you're one of our listeners, I'd suggest, if you have taken part in Blackout Wednesday, wait until the morning. Grab yourself a coffee and tune back in, because you're going to want to remember this. So first up, you touched on it, John. Week 11, game of the season, all sorts of superlatives being thrown around. We didn't have a show last week, but if we would have, I would have predicted a very high-scoring affair like this. I think you could have seen a high-scoring affair coming. The level to which it got was pretty crazy. I've seen some, you know, and maybe it's because everyone was lauding the game, but I've seen a little bit of backlash here and there. It was a little bit sloppy. They didn't play like Super Bowl teams, yada yada. While the other folks are saying, let's hope this is a Super Bowl preview. It is what I predicted for the Super Bowl at the beginning of the year. Nostra dumbass himself. But what were your takeaways? Good game, great game, historic game. Need more defense. Are these quarterbacks ready? Throw it at me.
All right, I got a lot of things, and I'm probably gonna be stuttering. So let me catch my breath here. But I'm gonna have to act my age here, and I'm gonna be the old man on the porch. It definitely wasn't the greatest game of all time, and all that. First of all, The first quarter, with all the every other play was a penalty. I mean, come on, you can't a defender would just breathe or spit near a guy and he'd get a penalty. I think in the game there was 21 total penalties,
a lot of penalties.
Accepted. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
20 of which were on the defense, it seemed like, as well, for what it's worth. Not a lot of offensive penalties.
Yeah, And it's not all shitting on the refs. Andy Reid is complaining and crying, but you have to coach your guys to the as far as the new rules. I mean the Chiefs can't play defense without using their hands. If you know they're going to get called, eventually you just got to stop. Or they say, hey, you know, if I don't put my hands on them, then they're just going to burn me for, you know, 40 or 50 yard touchdowns. So I don't know if the league went overboard with the rule changes but there was no flow to the game. There was either a penalty or every 2 minutes the game had to stop for a commercial because there was a score, obviously, every 2 minutes or a penalty. So and also these quarterbacks they get hit once a week, and they don't even know how to handle it. Like one time Goff, like he's not even looking for the defender, and he just gave him a touchdown there. These quarterbacks are so unaccustomed to getting hit, they're getting like spoiled. But they gotta toughen up a little, because when they face tougher defenses, if they face tougher defenses, the way these rules now, they could probably get by without even facing a tough defense. They both have a 1 or 2 seed, but they don't even like look for the hit. It's an insult that a defender got within 5 yards of them, and they gave the ball up too easy for all their greatness. I mean, for the phenomenal numbers and all that they put up, to criticize them is, I know that's not a good look, you know, on my part. But those are the few of the things I take out of it. Let me catch my breath because I'll probably have a few more. But go ahead, man.
I see where you're coming from. At the end of the day, they're both offenses in this game are incredible, right? I mean, regardless of the rules, these are both two just great, great offenses, playmakers all over the field. Gurley was like hurt, and the Rams still put up 54. Goff showed some moxie at the end after, you know, KC came back twice, and you know, that was a great, great game-winning touchdown pass he threw to Gerald Everett. I think, you know, Mahomes, for the great numbers he put up, I think it's a bit of a learning experience game for him, too. You saw his, you know, both the good and the bad of his kind of gunslinging nature with the, you know, I mean, the second interception, not as much, because the way they had kind of managed that final drive with the two short throws and burning the timeout, like that wasn't great. And but the first interception, kind of just a Hail Mary to a guy who's 5'8", 5'9", whatever Tyreek Hill is. So I think Mahomes will learn from that game. With that said, so great, a lot of fun to watch. I had a flight I had to catch at 5:50 a.m. on Tuesday. And I said, well, you know, I got to see this game, but if it's not, you know, if it's not that great or whatever, maybe I can catch a few Z's. And of course, I ended up till 1 a.m. and dragging ass the whole next day. But I couldn't turn away from that one. But with all that said, people are saying Super Bowl preview, and for my money, neither one of these teams is the best in the NFL right now. And I think you probably know where I'm going with this. But
yeah, I if it was a Super Bowl preview, I'd adjust my midseason prediction, and it wouldn't be these two teams either. But also, to throw more salt, in the game it's kind of like, you know, when people like criticize the NBA and they say all you got to do is tune into the last 2 minutes. That's what these games are becoming. All you got to do is turn into the fourth quarter. Why even bother? It's just going to come down to the end, to who. There's the first one to either turn it over or to punt or to kick or to settle for a field goal. That's what these games are coming to. I don't watch the NBA All-Star game anymore. I haven't watched the NBA All-Star game since the 90s. Who wants to see that? There wasn't much of a challenge. I would say Mahomes played better because basically Mahomes had a little more tougher defense to go through.
He did. And I mean, I think what you're saying is really specific to the Chiefs, because their offense is so good and their defense is so bad that when they play a good team, you saw it against the Patriots too, which was very similar to this game. It's essentially, whoever gets the ball last.
Right. Yeah, I don't. But not to just shit on the defense. The Ekubom kid made a couple great plays. As a matter of fact, he won, which is the biggest ironic. He won Defensive Player of the Week, but for making his two plays,
he made good plays. But I mean, it's not just the Rams.
Was a phenomenal play. Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like this is that defense playing good. Like I mean, it's not like it's just the Rams that have gone through them like a hot knife through butter. It's every single week they're in this vicious shootout, and that's a tough way to win. Luckily for them, the AFC's weak, and they might, you know, they have a real good chance to make the Super Bowl with no defense. But I think once they get there, they could run into some problems.
Yeah, because the Rams, I mean, they have Donald, Sue, and the Ekubom kid, but their secondary is ridiculous. I mean, one time Kareem Hunt just ran straight down the field, and the safety or the cornerback fell on his face. All he did was run straight, and Mahomes just threw it right to him.
Tyreek Hill. The guy he did 75 yard touchdown, and
Sam Shields just fell down, and he fell on his face. I mean, that's nothing to me. That's nothing exciting about that. That's just great speed. Yeah. He just ran a go route, and the defense is so pathetic. I mean, you're going to see that Sunday when you play your game at a cow shit park. You're going to see guys, you know, they're not going to be quite as fast as Tyreek Hill. They'll probably be running a 25-second 40, but you're going to be seeing the same thing. There was no defense. There was no resistance at all on some of those drives, which to me is not even exciting. When it's a defender not even near the guy, no resistance. That's no great drill. Everybody's like jerking off, like, oh, it's the greatest game of all time. And
these guys made some good plays, though. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't think it was.
As a matter of fact, I'll give Goff a lot of credit. That last drive, the way he mixed it up, and he even used like Everett, and he didn't just rely on his speed guys going right. He had to make some thread some tough passes in the needle there for, you know, the rare Chief defenders that were within 10 yards of a couple of those passes.
All right, so.
All right, I'm done. I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. It's why we're here. We're here to debate. And like I said, I mean, these are – the Rams have a good defense too, generally. The Chiefs' offense is just that good that they're going to score on anybody. Like if they had the Rams' defense, I think it would be a little bit of a different story. But great game.
But
the Rams get the W.
Don't you think that this is like, wow, this is a big-time fad. But if it continues like this and like 4 or 5 years from now, we see like 20 games that both teams score like 50-50, like the friggin' Big 12 or the Pac-10, whatever the fuck would – those college – some of those college conferences where the game's like 60-50. Don't you think like anything? The audience is going to get tired, right? Like now, okay, everybody's all jerked off. The fantasy guys, everybody got your little fantasy points, and everybody's all excited. And you know, I'm sure the ratings went through the roof. But if it continues, don't you think what goes up, what must down, comes down?
I agree. And I mean, I don't foresee games like this being that common. Personally, I mean, I don't know.
We've already seen a couple this year. The Chiefs Patriots game was similar to this. We've already seen a couple like this.
Agreed. I remember Dan Marino against Ken O'Brien back in the 80s, a game like this, right?
That was like an anomaly. I think that was 51-45 or something. But that was.
You like that? I think I was 6 years old, but I remember watching. watching that. But I do. I don't think they're – I mean, if anything, you know, every year they come out with, you know, the points of emphasis for the officials and stuff, right? And I think if what you're saying could happen starts to happen, those points of emphasis will kind of gear more toward the defense. Like one rule that's in place that they never call is the offensive targeting rule, where the offensive guy's not supposed to be lowering his head. Right. And, I mean – like that penalty toward the end of the game where the tight end just lowered his head into the defensive back's head, and the defensive back got called for the personal foul. Like, you know, that's the kind of thing. And I think they may walk back the guidance on some of the roughing the passer stuff, because that's been a little ridiculous this year too. But I do think the days of, you know, a 13-10 Super Bowl and stuff, I think those days are long gone. They're probably gone forever.
Well, maybe not 13-10, but I like a good 21-17 tight-knit game there.
Steelers Jaguars. That's your kind of game.
Like that Jaguars Bills game. That was a little that's getting a little too carried away. That 10-7 the one that Tony Romo called an unbelievable game. Yeah, that's pushing it a little. at least 21-17.
All right. So it's been a few weeks since we've been on, and there's been some changes. So first thing, point out Chicago Bears. Big streak, 4-game winning streak, 7-3.
Yeah, I really liked the Vikings. We have to
this.
Confess. I'm sorry to cut you off. We have to confess. We both picked the Vikings in
I
our official
the Vikings
picks.
A lot yeah. in this game, and I mean the Bears just stomped them. Really, the game wasn't even as close as the final score. That defense was good, and I guess you got to say now they're for real. We'll see tomorrow. It's the Chase Daniel hour going to Detroit on Thanksgiving. Detroit coming off a big win against the Panthers. I don't know. You think Nagy's the kind of guy where he can just plug him in and he'll be good enough to beat the Lions?
I think they're going to have a little letdown. But then again, I've been wrong about the Bears. We were both wrong on them last week. Because we were saying that they didn't really beat anybody all year, but last week they really stepped up. And I agree with you 100%. The score was closer than it should have been, only because Trubisky had a couple bad picks, which he was avoiding the last few weeks. But he's got to stay away from that if the Bears want to do something in the playoffs. And also they had a crucial fumble that kept them in the game. But they dominated the Vikings. They stepped up.
I know. It's a tough year. I mean, I think they'll definitely make the playoffs. They'll probably win that division, but it's with the Saints and the Rams in the NFC. It's tough to see them really making noise. I mean, I think either one of those teams stomps them at home.
Plus, down the stretch, they got to go to Minnesota, and they have the Rams at home, and they got to go to the Giants, which might be a little a struggle, and they got one more Green Bay, so they got to. All hope isn't lost for Minnesota yet, but Minnesota's pretty much can only afford one more loss. They got to run the table to catch them and to make that last game mean anything. That last game in Minnesota.
This game tomorrow against the Lions is a big game for the Bears. If without Trubisky, it's not. You know that puts him at 8-3 and gives him a little bit of wiggle room.
Yeah,
if they lose, you know, they're tied with Minnesota in the loss column before Minnesota plays. And I think, you know, if you lose, it kind of takes away some of that, you know, some of that momentum you built up by the big win.
But without their QB, they could afford that. And I think all the home teams got an advantage on tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Yeah, usually. So we have another...
I would like the Lions even more if they had Kerryon Johnson, but it looks like he's out.
He's out. Marvin Jones is also out. So the Bears defense is going to have to win them the game. And, I mean, that you know they're capable of doing it against that Lions team. So you could get a D'Amato special there, 21-17 Bears. Sounds about right to me. A lot of defense.
Chase Daniels, he's an adequate backup.
They pay him. I think he makes $7 million a year. So they pay him for exactly this situation. He looked good in the preseason, but I don't think he's taken a regular season snap since I believe 2014. So might be a little rust.
Yeah, the Lions are kind of win one, lose one. They've been up and down, so they might be able to catch him. The Lions had a big win last week over the Panthers.
They did.
Keep their slim hopes alive.
All right, so I kind of alluded to this team earlier, but again, last time we talked, we were still having that conversation about the Eagles. Yeah, that you know that They're still in the driver's seat. They're still the best team in that division. Not a must win. Not a must win. Well, I think it's panic time over in Philly. I thought the Saints would win, but I thought Philly would at least show up. And I mean, they just got destroyed. And you can, you know, that Saints offense putting up 48, they can do that to anybody. But measly 7. Wentz played awful. They're now 2 games back of Washington and Dallas. Dallas has finally turned it around and looks like the grind them out Cowboys. That must be, I know you don't like the Cowboys, but that's your kind of team, D'Amato, right? Run the ball, keep the score down, control the clock.
Nah, I've been praising their defense all year. Even though personal feelings aside, but I've been high on the Cowboys' defense. That Vandesh is looks like that was a great pick for them.
And, definitely.
And Jalen Smith, they got a hell of a linebacking core. So I'm high on the Dallas defense.
And the offensive line has gotten it going lately. And Zeke is, you just wonder if Zeke . Zeke parties a little too much in the off season. And comes in a little out of shape. Because once he gets going, I mean, he's right up there with anybody, and that's where he's at right now. Like, they're a scary team. If I'm one of these high flying teams, like I want no part of the Cowboys because they're the kind of team that can beat you, control that clock. Remember they did it to. Who was it? The Seahawks a couple years ago when the Seahawks were, I think, undefeated coming into the game. They just pounded it. That's the kind of team they are. But anyway, back to the Saints Eagles. So any hope for the Eagles, John? Any hope for the Eagles, or time to pack it in? They traded for Golden Tate. They're looking to make a push this year. I don't like what I'm seeing. And I've kind of been on this. I've been on this train all year that I just don't think that they're that good. call it disgruntledness from the Super Bowl last year or not, but sort of proven itself out. I think they're cooked. I think they're done. I think there's a good chance they finish last place in the division.
The only hope is the next 3 games are against that division foe. So that's the only hope. If they come up with these 3. Or even 2 out of 3. I think this is gonna be this might be an 8-8 year that a division takes an 8-8 takes a division this year. That's their only hope. But I don't like a lot of stuff coming out of it. A lot of guys didn't talk to the press, and there was a lot of complaining about all the injuries.
And just the game itself.
Yeah,
Wentz really looked bad. Really, really looked bad.
Yeah, there was a lot of complaints about the injuries, but that's all in the secondary. They're down to their 4th string in the secondary, but the offense only put up 7 points. So I think it's a combination of Wentz is taking a while. He had a major injury, so you can't just come back here and start slinging it and running around like he was. And also, they're really feeling the effects. They lost the QB coach, and they lost the OC from last year, Reich.
Yeah, some of the shines coming off the Doug Peterson penny. A little more shine every week.
And that's going to be interesting. Not to say the struggles are going to continue, but if in a few years where it comes time to do what you got to do, because all coaches are hired to be fired, and when you got that Super Bowl in your back pocket, that usually buys you an extra couple of years, and you get fired like 2 years later than you should have. So it's going to be interesting to see if he don't turn it around, how soon the fans will turn on him, and how soon they'll start taking craps underneath that statue that they got built for him outside the stadiums.
Yeah, I mean...
But he gets a mulligan this year, though.
Yeah, I guess. It's an embarrassment.
The first Super Bowl winning team in history to lose a game the next year by more than 40 points. you could put that one on their resume.
Breaking records all over the place.
Yeah, but it's a testament to your boys and... That only certain teams can you got to give credit to like the Steelers. There's certain teams that are in the hunt every year.
Sustain it.
And a bunch of other teams are just one-hit wonders.
The Chiefs are a team like that too. Andy Reid, I mean, he hasn't you know, done much as far as the promised land, but
yeah, but he gets you there.
He gets you there. He always gets you there. Yeah. And honestly, I mean, that's what Peterson did too. Is like, you know, you get into the. I mean, you forget they were, I think, underdogs in every playoff game they played last year. Got into the tournament, got hot at the right time, and the rest is history.
Yeah, but still, that Carolina collapse. If they had just won that game, they'd still be right in the thick of things at 5-5. They'd be, as a matter of fact, they'd still be in the driver's seat at 5-5.
While we're on them, I mean, it's tough to pick the Giants, but the Giants are coming in hot. In
come on, look at the opposition.
The Giants would Eli would like nothing more than to drive that nail, that final nail, into the Eagles' coffin.
I know, but as bad as the Philly has looked, the Giants have just played San Francisco and Tampa Bay. I mean, Philly, maybe the defense is on the level of those two teams, but only with the injuries. But I don't see Philly collapsing totally where they're going to lose to the Giants at home.
Yeah, and they do have injuries in the secondary, so it's like destroyed. Yeah, them. But I should bring that up, that their secondary, like, you're never going to stop Drew Brees with four backups in there because your whole secondary's hurt.
Yeah, but there's no excuse to only score 7 points. And they made a big acquisition for Golden Tate, and they hardly use them. And now they got stud receivers. Alshon is healthy. Jeffrey's healthy. And Al-Ghahar is there. And Golden Tate. Yeah, exactly. There's no excuse
best
to only score 7 points.
Him and Kelsey, best receiving tight ends in the league. Yeah. I mean, and it was on Wentz. I mean, he threw some bad interceptions in that game.
And also, they just completely abandoned the run. I mean, they still get by with Clement and Smallwood, but they've abandoned the runs.
Adams is their new guy. He was like the one bright spot for them. He scored the longer 20-yard touchdown runner. So, but the G-men, you know, sometimes, John, you get those cupcake matchups and. It gets, you know, it's like a basketball player who can't freaking throw it in the ocean. You make a couple of free throws, you know, you make a 10-footer, just seeing the ball go in the basket gets you going. And first time all season, I'll say this last week, Eli played a very good game. He played a very, very good game. And I know Tampa's defense isn't very good, but It's possible that they've turned a little bit of a corner and may close strong here.
Yeah, the coach in his first year had some growing pains. If he had earlier in the year, if he had fed Barkley more, they were too reliant on the pass early in the year with that horrific offensive line. That was just a recipe for disaster. But he finally discovered that to feed Barkley a little more, and also Barkley is learning that. Not every run has to go for either 30 yards or a loss of 5 yards. Sometimes you take your little 3 and 4 yard hitters, learn from Ezekiel Elliott, who just keeps the chains moving. So, but he's a rookie. He's getting that. There's some positive signs for the Giants, but I'm not making playoff plans exactly. I don't think this. Everybody's talking about running the table and how 8-8 can win a division, but I don't. They still got some tough road ahead.
Is that the scuttlebutt over in New York? Because that's a little optimistic. I would say just take it one week at a time.
That's what I do. But yeah, people are losing their minds. There's not much. There wasn't much to cheer about. So they figured out that 8-8 can pretty much win it. So
yeah, because they don't at least
allowed them one loss.
They don't have the easiest schedule in the world coming up. I mean, it's Philly, Chicago, contenders. Washington, Tennessee, Indy, and Dallas.
Yeah, all contenders. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not running the table there.
Yeah, that was those two opponents kind of brought some optimism, but at least the season's not a total disaster. But they're still going to be looking at a top 10 pick.
So looking at the other side of the ball, I said earlier that I don't think the best team in the NFL played Monday night, and that's because I think the best team in the NFL is the New Orleans Saints. Beat the Rams, heads up. Breeze is on that. You know, he doesn't have, obviously, the physical gifts of some of these other guys, and he's older, but he's on that. He's on that level where he can just run that offense in his sleep. He just doesn't make mistakes. He always makes the right decision. He's got all these weapons all around him, and he uses all of them. and most importantly, their defense that played like complete shit for the first seven weeks of the season has really, really turned it around. And again, we could talk about Wentz having a bad game and stuff, but this is a defense that all of a sudden is playing like their defense played last year, which was a top 10 defense in the league. And to me, that's the difference. They're a really tough team. They're going to be a really tough team to beat.
The offensive line. I mean, Breeze's uniform is as clean at the end of the game as it is at the beginning. Their offensive line has got to give a lot of credit, and also it's because of the system that Peyton runs, where Breeze doesn't hold the ball for more than 1 or 2 seconds. Everything is just so quick. It's just so much quicker than watching most other teams in the league. But yeah, they're definitely about their defense. I wouldn't say even the first 8. It was more like the first 3 or 4 weeks where they struggled. But since then, they really picked it up. And it's not a defense full of superstars, but they just got like solid guys. Maybe Cam Jordan might be their only Pro Bowler.
Lattimore, the quarterback, yeah. He's real right. good. Marshawn yep. Lattimore, he's you know, we'll see and, him tomorrow. That's a sneaky good game if Atlanta can keep up with them at all. So,
yeah. I wouldn't be surprised that Atlanta still got that playoff pedigree, even though it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. But I wouldn't be surprised that Atlanta gave him a good game. Also, that kid, maybe not a Pro Bowl level, but he makes a lot of plays. That Anzalone.
Alex Anzalone, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, good player. And, yeah, I mean, the Saints are deservedly so, are big favorites in the night game tomorrow, but... You think that these teams know each other well and have been in – this might not be your kind of game, John. That's all I'm going to say. Saints-Falcons tends to be a, you know, little bit of a shootout.
Yeah, right? The first one was 43-37.
The first one was 43-37, so we'll see. At least it'll be high-level offensive play.
Yeah, they get into Atlanta. It was really their defense actually played pretty well versus Dallas. They held Dallas to 22. It was the offense really so only scored 19. That Ridley pass right to his hands into which turned into an interception for Van Dish for Dallas. That was a killer. That pretty much typifies Atlanta season. They're just always so close, and they just make that one or two losing plays. Just. Ever since that Super Bowl versus I forgot what team they played in that Super Bowl where they blew the biggest lead of all time in a Super Bowl. Ever since then, it's just they just make losing plays, and that's another maybe not this year, but next year Quinn's probably gonna be on the hot seat there if the losing continues here.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be a fun one. I think it'll be a fun one. The other Thanksgiving game, another good game. We have Cowboys Redskins in Dallas.
Yeah, that's
obviously
more my speed. Yeah.
Thoughts go out to Alex Smith from the This Week in the NFL crew. There's a gruesome injury, and you know it's possible it's going to be a tough road back for him. So the Redskins turned to Colt McCoy, who. When given the opportunity, has been a very capable backup. I remember a few years back him beating the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football in a game that they were big underdogs. So he'll be trying to do the same thing. Dallas coming in hot. Washington's got a really good defense. So I like the Cowboys here, but I think they're 7.5-point favorites, which I think is a little bit high. I think it's going to be a close game. Could really go either way.
McCoy and Jay Gruden have a good relationship. He's kept him around as a backup for all these years, and also McCoy gives him something that Alex Smith does. He's got a little more range on his throws. So
willingness.
Yeah,
Smith just won't do it. You know, he just doesn't. He just doesn't really push it downfield. And
but then again, can you blame him? I mean, maybe Maurice Harris, but who? What kind of weapons does he got there? Crowder is still out for Washington, right?
He might play this week, but he wasn't in there last week. But I mean, Dotson is in theory a deep threat, and you saw it though when McCoy came in. I mean, Jordan Reed looked like back from the dead. first time he's looked like himself all season.
Yeah, and Alex Smith, his favorite receiver is Vernon Davis.
Right, I mean, it was just they were getting it done, just pounding AP. That's not going to work against the Cowboys. They're going to have to throw. I mean, if the Cowboys can just stack the box against Peterson, he's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, but I looked for another. The first game was 20-17. It went in Washington's favor, and it was because of a big Dak turnover, a big fumble in the end zone. I look for it the other way around, a 2017 Cowboys where McCoy turnover will be the key play of the game.
I'm with you. I like the Cowboys in a close game.
Yeah, I really we said it before. I really like how Van Dash and Jalen Smith are just a great linebacking core, which makes up for the loss of Sean Lee, who only plays about half a season. But when he does, he makes plays in there.
Yeah, because the Cowboys, they really need this one, because their next two games are New Orleans and Philly, and then at Indy. So, yeah. You know, you're probably losing two of those three.
Home though. This is both them and the Texans. They both got a stretch where they got a
bunch of home games in a row.
Yeah, three in a row. This late in the season, that's huge. So I look, yeah, if that Dallas would be in good shape, if they take two out of these three, they should be on their way.
Yeah, particularly this one. I mean, if they the tie
those last three games are kind of soft. They got a Giants, Tampa, and that Indy will be kind of tough. But I'm looking, they go 4-2, and they take it with a 9-7.
Yeah, very, very possible.
But if they slip in one of those, then my 8-8 winning division comes into play.
Yeah. So we talked about the Chiefs in the AFC. You only have a couple of other, few other contenders there. One of them, Pittsburgh, looked like the worst team in football for about 3.5 quarters. And we got to talk about your Jaguars, John. We got to talk about why. Why play that guy at quarterback if you refuse to throw? Remember, this is how they lost to the Pats in the playoffs. They just, they get ahead by 10 points and they refuse to let the guy throw at all. I mean, I think we were watching this together, right? We were watching it together. I said
if they could have just got one first down.
They didn't even try.
Yeah,
I said, no way they're letting them throw here. They got to go for the first down. I mean, every other team in the NFL, even the shitty teams, right? You always at least try to throw on second down in that situation, right? You do the play action and do the little swing pass to the high percentage pass to the back or the tight end. They didn't even do that. They ran it into the line three times, punted to the Steelers, and everybody and their brother knew the Steelers were going to come down and win. 100%. There was not a doubt in my mind. Awful. Absolutely awful.
Their offensive line, and you know who started? Eric Flowers they picked up, and he's starting for them. That's all you need to know about the Jaguars' offense. And I mean, if you consider yourself a Super Bowl team, which some did, mea culpa, my bad. But I didn't realize the shape of their. You have to have depth too. You can't. Of course, everybody's going to have injuries and all that, but you have to have depth. If you pick up another team's bust. And you place them in your starting lineup on your offensive line, one of the most important positions. You really can't expect to do anything, and that's how you get six-game losing streaks in the NFL.
Yep, and if you're if you're on the Jaguars' defense, I mean, they stood on their head against the Steelers, are one of the four or five best offenses in the league, and they're hot. They've won five games in a row coming into that game. Roethlisberger putting up great numbers, and they just completely shut him down, picked him off, put the offense in great positions, and they're taking field goals. And then at the end of the game, I mean, how do you come out this week as a Jaguars defender with the same kind of intensity? I mean, how frustrating! How frustrating can that be? I mean, it has to be the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey, he finally backed up his mouth and he played a stupendous game. But the Jaguars got to take some of the blame. Their defense fell apart. They gave up a 40 burger versus Dallas. I mean, in this game, you could defend them. They played great. But there were some games they gave up a 40 to Dallas, and they gave up at Indianapolis. They lost 29. As a matter of fact, Bortles played a great game, and they lost 29-26 to Indianapolis. So the defense can't complain too much. There was a couple games in there where they could have stopped that losing streak, and they didn't. So that's the makings of a bad team. 1 week your offense clicks, and 1 week your defense clicks. I mean, here obviously it's more on the offense, but there were a couple games where they could have backed up all that tough talk that Ramsey and the boys, and also they couldn't even come close to getting to a Ben. You saw it was a hot day. Their defense was sucking wind on the sideline because they had to go back out there after 22nd three and out. They had to keep going back out.
Absolutely.
There.
So if you're them, I mean, if I'm a Jaguars fan, I'm hoping they lose the next six and draft a QB, right? I mean, it's that. He's obviously not the answer.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were mesmerized by that playoff performance last year.
Have any other options. I mean, the only, like, you know, as far as guys who change teams, right, Cousins would be the one. I mean, I guess Bridgewater is probably going to be a pretty hot name in the offseason. They could go after him. And they obviously weren't picking high enough. They could have taken Lamar Jackson. I don't know how great of a fit he would be there. But it is, tough times. Tough times in Jacksonville. For the Steelers, they get a big win. They have a half-game lead on both the Patriots and the Texans and the Chargers. So that was a big win for them. And also, obviously, for the division, they're looking good for the division. They're a team that if they, they're a team that could knock off Kansas City, that could just, they can go out there and outscore them, which is what you have to do against Kansas City. They're capable of that.
They're more well-rounded. Their defense has finally gotten it together after, like we said, the same thing with we talked about the Saints. The Steelers, the same thing for the first 7-8 weeks. Their defense didn't stop anybody, but now they got that machine rolling, and they got their eyes on December 16th. They play a certain team at home again, similar to last year where they play a team in December. And this year, I think Jesse James is going to keep the nose of the ball off the ground. He's going to keep it off the ground by a cunt hair. Like we say hashtag red CH. By a red cunt hair, he's going to keep the ball off the ground. And I'm making an early prediction that the Steelers are going to win that game.
All right. You're very well.
Because there's a lot of complaints that we agree too much, that there's not enough first take with Stephen A. and Max Kellerman type debate. So I'm not against
the Patriots, believe me.
I'm laying it down early that December 16th, the Steelers are going to take it this year. They're going to exercise their demons.
We'll see. If the Patriots played like they do against Tennessee, then absolutely. Then the Jets will beat them on Sunday.
But actually, maybe the Steelers be looking ahead. The Broncos, they got the Broncos this week.
In Denver. I mean, Denver just beat the Chargers. In San Diego, I mean, that's a big win. That's a win. Well,
it wasn't in San Diego. It was whatever. It was in
Bumfuck. Yes.
I do the same thing all the time.
Now I feel old. But the Rams I always call the Los Angeles Rams, but the Chargers, maybe it's because their games, every game I watch, it feels like an away game, but I still think of them being in San Diego.
Yeah, no, let's talk about that game because the Chargers really blew it because they could have they could have been tied with the Chiefs after this week if they didn't blow that one to the Broncos, because got the easy one versus the Cardinals, and they would have, even though they're not very impressive, they're nowhere close to being impressive as the Chiefs. They would have had the same record after this week, but they really coughed that game up. Rivers threw some bad picks.
But it's like kind of typical Chargers, right?
Yeah,
it wouldn't shock me if they figure out a way to miss the playoffs.
They usually fold in December, though. This is they did their foldo early.
Until they started too hot.
That's another team, kind of like the Bears. They just kind of just win. They beat lesser opposition every week. They've taken advantage of a weak schedule, but I mean, that game was right there, and some poor clock management by the coach, and a couple bad picks by Rivers. And plus, yeah, going back to the stadium situation, it seemed like every game is an away game for them. They're playing in that little dumpy StubHub stadium, which ironically is half full. I guess the tickets don't all sell on StubHub. So they're in limbo because they chased the money and they left San Diego and they're going to that fancy stadium in L.A. But now they're a team without fans, and if they keep going like this, they're going to be a team without playoffs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I'm going to walk away from here for 1 second. Sorry, fans. I got a dog going crazy downstairs. I just got to check it out. 1 minute. Okay, John?
Yeah, here you go. Go.
Sorry, folks. You there, John?
Yeah, he's good.
Oh yeah, it was a package. So sorry, guys. I am here by myself, and there was somebody knocking at my door, so I had to go answer it. Hope you took a 2 minute piss break. And speaking of piss breaks, Jaguars Bills. That's the this week in sports piss break game of the week. Do you agree there, John?
No. Why are we even talking about that? I don't know. It's really. Is that a big playoff rematch? Unfortunately, Tyrod Taylor is not a quarterback anymore for the Bills. Josh Allen is going to make his triumphant return. Maybe he's going to shut up Jalen. He's going to shut up Jalen Ramsey. He was talking some trash about him.
Anyway, just thought I'd since we talked about the Jaguars, if that's a game that is going to be the least watched game on Sunday, for sure.
Yes, yeah, what a slog. 49ers and Bucks. At least they'll have a lot of points.
A lot of points. It'll be your kind of game.
You fantasy jerk-offs will be fucking splooging all over the place for that one, man.
But we were talking about the Chargers. And, yeah, that's a bad loss, right? That's just a bad loss. You can't lose that game if you're them. Luckily, they have Arizona coming to town this week. If they somehow manage to lose that game, it's time to hit the panic button. But they should win by quite a bit, as Arizona proved the only team capable in the NFL of losing to Johnny Boy Gruden. Raiders pick up their second victory, eke one out against the Cardinals, 23-21.
And the Raiders got a sack in that game. They got their ninth sack of the year, one more than Khalil Mack in eight games. And Khalil Mack's only played eight games, so the Raiders passed him in sacks. Congratulations.
Yep, the Raiders going to Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, it'll be like Louisville all over again. It's, give him the Heisman now. And then Pats at Jets. They get some kind of shit matchups this week. Like, I suppose that could be a good game, but most likely the Patriots coming off a bye will stomp them.
I don't think so.
I think
the Jets are going to bounce back a little. Not stomp. I'm not predicting a Jets victory, but I think they're going to keep it interesting.
I disagree. I don't think it's going to be interesting at all.
We have here in New York, we have today, I guess it's kind of slow around sports, but the Jets beat writer for the New York Daily News, Manish Mehta, had a big article today about how Gronk is shot and how the Pats are going nowhere because Gronk's career is pretty much over.
Well, if he plays, guess who they'll try to get a couple of touchdowns for? It's a good move. Good move, Mata. Good move. We appreciate it. Seattle at Carolina. That's a good game. So the Panthers coming off a very much like the Chargers, a bad loss. I know they were on the road. They suck on the road. They're 1-4 on the road now. But what did you think? You know, we should talk about this. Panthers... clearly the better team, right? Usually, like you don't usually do this when you're the better team. Scored with under a minute left. I'm sorry, a little over a minute, 7 left to make the game 20-19, and went for 2 and didn't get it. Riverboat Ron. When you're the better team, there, don't you? Isn't that kind of like a desperate, like if you're looking to pull an upset sort of deal, where you would do that? I disagree with it, and not just based on the result. In principle, I disagree with it. What do you think?
Not just Rivera, but I notice a lot of guys are going for two this year. A lot of coaches, maybe it's because there's more missed extra points this year than there has in recent memory. So I don't know. Gano had missed one, which is ironic because he beat the Giants with a 75-yard field goal. So for him to lose faith in his kicker I don't think it was a lost face in the kicker. He just, he just wants to. I think he just wants to live up to his name, Riverboat Ron, and it wasn't well thought out. I agree with you. They're the better team, and you should have your confidence that your team could win and with the extra time. But I see a lot of coaches again, not just in situations like this, but a lot of coaches are playing that shot early. They're going in the third quarter, like the Bears. I saw did it.
Yep.
In the first half, and to me, you just take the one. I had an interesting debate with our godfather, Mr. Rosero, where he's just in favor of pretty much going for it every time because the odds you get it 50% of the time. But for me, I say you should go for the one, and that shot should only be used in the last 5 minutes of the game because you see a lot of guys they get burnt, they go for two. And they don't look at the consequences when you missed it too. Like when you're down five and you want to get the two to get within a field goal, that's fine. But if you miss it, you're down five, and then you get a field goal and you're down two.
Now you
got to and the other team you're down two, and then the other team gets a touchdown and they go up two scores. For me, I always say you always got to stay within one score. When you put yourself in a position where you fall behind two scores, that's why that shot is meant for only like the last, I would say like the last 8 to 10 minutes of the game, and a lot of guys use that shot early.
So here's the deal. Mathematically, right? Rosero, JT is correct that it does mathematically make sense to go for two. But the thing, the caveat I'll put on that is that. That's if you do it every time, right? So if there was a team that said we're going to go, I mean, unless it's really obvious not to, right? That we're going to go for two every time. I'd respect that because you're playing the percentages. But your point, I agree with. They do it arbitrarily, right? Like, I mean, you're seeing a lot of it now where they just we're going to go for two this time, and it's just kind of a one-off sort of deal. Well. You're not going to get enough bang for your buck doing it like that to make the math work. And you're really, I mean, honestly, you're just, it's like a, it's, you're flipping a coin, right? It just,
they don't, so. They don't take the, in account what happens when you miss. Cause that shot's like, oh, okay. We're down five. If we make it, we're only down a field goal, but it don't take into account what happens when you miss.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You have to have worst case scenario. But that's the big thing. A lot of times these coaches, when they miss, then they put themselves susceptible to falling behind two scores, which in the fourth quarter you don't want to do.
The more egregious thing that I don't ever understand is like the unwillingness for a lot of guys to go for it on like fourth and one or fourth and two between the 40s, like, you know, from their own 40 to the other team's 40. That I don't like. And speaking of not going for it, we talked about the Seahawks. The Seahawks got a big win against the Packers on Thursday night last week, where McCarthy seems to like just be dead set on getting fired from his job. The Seahawks went through the Packers defense in the fourth quarter like they were, you know, like they weren't even there. And Aaron Rodgers had the ball. What was there? 3 minutes left? 3 minutes left in the game? And fourth and two from, where's it, the 35-yard line, and elected to kick the ball back to Seahawks, and predictably they didn't get it back.
Yeah, Rodgers never touched the ball again. McCarthy had faith in his great defense, which has never won him anything in his whole time there. The only time he's won is because of from what Rodgers has done for him.
You got to go for it there, right? I mean,
yeah,
not revisionist history, but I mean, no one's going to kill you if you don't get it. Honestly, it gives the Seahawks less. The Seahawks aren't looking to score when they get the ball back. It gives them less field to work with.
Yeah, that's not even a debatable point. McCarthy has lost his way, but his organization, it hasn't really done him any favors. I think they set him up to fail because they traded away Clinton Dix. They didn't really get him anybody. They didn't make no moves at the deadline, and. For years, Rodgers has had to rely on, these receivers that you pick up off the friggin' unemployment line, like friggin' Geronimo Allison and these guys with the three names, St.
Well,
Brown.
They're rookies, at least. I mean, yeah. they could be good. Like Valdez Scantling, I think, is a.
But I was talking about a lot of guys that he hear today that are his favorite target, and then they're gone tomorrow, like Janice and guys like that in the past. It seems like every year there's
Jordy. Got rid of Jordy.
Yeah, but Jordy might have been done, but still, they don't replace him with anybody. I mean,
agreed. So who do you like in Seattle at Carolina? The Panthers, even with their idiotic decision last week, with a win, go to 7-4 and really kind of put themselves in the driver's seat for a wild card.
Yeah, I like Carolina. Seattle's. Won their games with a strong running game, but I don't think they can be able to pound it like that versus in Carolina. So I'll give the edge to Carolina, but I have been impressed. Seattle's been a little better than I thought this year. I figured they'd be headed towards like a 6-10.
Yeah, no, like, I thought they were going to be like awful.
They're still in the hunt.
I mean, Carroll's done a good job with emphasizing the running game. They're playing like that old school style that you appreciate where they know
Definitely.
They don't have the horses. So they're just trying to hold on to the ball. Wilson's a great, great quarterback too. I think he doesn't, you know, I know people think he's good, but I think he's even better than that. So I think we're about at time, John. It's been real. We got one more pick. Green Bay at the Vikings. It's a loser goes home game. I think the Vikings put the nail in the coffin.
Yep. And once again, we agree on everything. I don't know if it's going to go that way, but I can guarantee we won't be agreeing on December 16th.
That's true. Well, maybe we can try to watch that one together somehow, live watch. So happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, my friend.
Thank you, Rogers. Glad we finally hooked up, and it was also great to see you a couple times. Unfortunately, a couple weeks passed after our UFC outing that a couple of guys wanted to know about, but it's a little that's in the past now.
It's in the past. It's all right.
Yeah, a little too much time is in the.
It's all right.
So yeah, everybody listen, have a great Thanksgiving. God bless. Hug your family, and even that family member that you don't like too much, give him or her a hug too, and just to keep the peace. And check out the Monday AM quarterback. I had the fourth surprises of the season so far, and four disappointments. So check it out.
Absolutely, guys. So happy Thanksgiving to all. Enjoy food and football, and we'll be back next week. Over and out.
Peace, baby.